Hello there, and welcome to another Irish Examiner Sports podcast. Now, in the weeks ahead, COVID supervisors and COVID safety officers will become the most important people in sports clubs around the country. But what exactly will be expected in such roles? And today's podcast guest is well placed to help us answer some of those questions. Sean Manigan is Managing Director of SM Safety Limited, and we welcome him to our podcast today. Sean has over 20 years of experience in various disciplines of health and safety, along with project management across several sectors, including manufacturing, construction, and retail. And now he can add another line to his LinkedIn page with his appointment last week as Old Crescent RFC's Club COVID Safety Officer. And as I said, delighted to welcome Sean to the podcast. Sean, before we get in about COVID, let's talk about your day job and your background. Of course, you were a former player with Old Crescent, and a little birdie told me you were a top AIL try scorer back in the day as well.
Back in the day, yeah. When you used to get a pass maybe once every game, if you were lucky. I played on one of the successful teams in Old Crescent back in the 90s when we got promotion from the second division up to the first division. And we kind of flip-flopped a little bit between one and two back in the day. But it was an enjoyable time to play rugby and giving my old club a bit of a plug. We always tried to play attractive rugby. Didn't always necessarily translate on the scoreboard, but we used to give it a go and throw it around a little bit.
Okay, that was... we won't name the year anyway for all of that, Sean. Just to say that you had that record anyway as the top try scorer for Old Crescent in the All-Ireland League. But in between then and now, you've carved out an impressive career in the professional world. Let's talk a bit about that, because really that is the background to today's conversation.
Yeah, and I suppose it's one of those things that's come around in the last 20 years, 15 years, as being very important to business, industry, you know, whatever sector you might be in. Due, I suppose, in a lot of ways to insurance premiums, insurance requirements on businesses. So trying to make things as safe for employees as possible when they're at work has become very important to companies. And I suppose that's something that, in a way, not quite fell into it, but I saw an opportunity when I was working in an environmental role in Dell Computers here in Limerick, and went and got a qualification in health and safety to marry with the environmental work I was doing. And then the environmental or the health and safety opportunities started to grow. So ultimately that allowed me then to branch out my own. And as you said there at the start, kind of carve a bit of a niche for myself, which has brought me, you know, from one client at the very beginning to two to three to four to several clients now, working for them and with them, with the goal always being to try and make things as safe as possible for the employee.
Okay, well, the safety of employees and the general public, as the dynamic of that has changed so much in the last couple of weeks. Often we'd be talking about, you know, hard hats and building sites and those type of things, but now you're countering an invisible enemy in one way.
Absolutely, you know, and it's an extra, it's an add-on, because all, as you said, all the hard hats, the high vis, you know, that all has to happen as well. And now we're trying to get guys, you know, to stay in line with the government guidelines, to get them to kind of follow through. And if everybody does their bit, they protect themselves and they protect me and vice versa. So it's, you know, again, it's a little bit of teamwork. You know, the rugby background has helped. It's about getting guys doing things for the collective, you know, by doing it themselves, they help me. I help them by doing it for them, you know. So it's a bit of teamwork, you know. And what I've found, you know, on the side in the last 2 weeks since we opened up is that everybody is keen to do what's required to ensure that the site stays open and they stay working, because ultimately we all want to be earning some money at this time of the year, you know, or any time we want to be working. So everybody's pulling their weight, it would seem, on our site and obviously across the board, because the guidelines are fairly straightforward, but it's a case of getting that message to the guys and ensuring that they follow through as well.
Okay, how big of a challenge is it going to be, Sean, not just for rugby clubs, but for GA clubs, for soccer clubs, for sports clubs in general, to live life in the new normal?
I think it could be difficult, but it mightn't be as difficult as we might think just at the moment. A lot of the different organizations or associations are putting out roadmaps as to how to do things. And I suppose we will take that lead. With regard to rugby and soccer, there's potentially the professional teams could take a lead. And we, the amateurs then, can take a lot of what they'll find out and try, do, and measure back down to us if it works. The GAA don't have that at the moment. They don't have that professional area that rugby and soccer do. So rugby and soccer could use that as their test area, if you like, see what they're doing. I think in the soccer sphere, there's four teams which are being taken, and they're being tested, and they're doing training and that kind of thing. And all the while, the information that they're garnering from those four teams could be used to filter down then through their association to help the amateurs, as in, this works, and we've done this at training, and we haven't had any infections. So there's some very good information out there, but it needs to be filtered down through the associations. I spoke of the GA there not having that option, but they can learn from the other guys, because rugby and soccer, having the professional teams, have a little bit of an umbrella of cover in that when their players are playing, they're going to be in a workplace. So there's health and safety legislation which states that those clubs, the soccer clubs or the likes of Leinster, Munster, Connacht, Ulster here in Ireland, they have to do as much as is reasonably practical to keep their employees safe while at work. Now, for the amateurs, the club rugby player, the club soccer player, the GAA player, that little umbrella of cover isn't there for the associations, but it could be. There's no reason why that couldn't be put into some of the guidelines that are coming down for the amateurs, because we're looking at bringing guys back to training, bringing back guys back for games. But we can't guarantee that it's going to be safe. We can't guarantee that they're not going to contract COVID-19. So we're in a little bit of a come on, but we can't guarantee anything. So it might fall back on the individual, even though the club is trying to help them all get together.
Okay. In terms of the here and now, Sean, what exactly are you and Old Crescent putting in place in the days ahead?
So in the days ahead, I suppose you could nearly say it's embryonic as to what we're developing, but we're getting some guidance from the IRFU. There's further guidance due on Tuesday in the form of a webinar for COVID-19 compliance officers. So that'll lead us a little bit in one direction. But I suppose from my own background, the first thing that's going to be done and that we'll need to document is a risk assessment as to how our members in Old Crescent could possibly be exposed to the hazard of COVID-19 if they come back training. That'll be the first step. So we'll be looking at, well, how are they going to get to training? You know, what training can we do? Where can they, have we the space that's needed to social distance and train at the same time? You know, what kind of sanitization protocols will we need to put in place for the players themselves, the equipment that we're using, and one of the most important things potentially will be, how do we deal with somebody who might get injured at training? Can a first aider or can the physio go over and do the usual work, or do we have to self-isolate because we can't touch him in case he's, you know, there's a few unanswered or unanswerables, I should say, there at the moment, but we have to start somewhere. So we'll be risk assessing what we can, trying to put controls in place to minimize the chance of the hazard occurring. And then it'll be a working document that we'll need to review, measure, change, define what we're doing again, measure it again, and see what is helping and what needs to be changed.
So what like, given that this is your professional job, Sean, what advice would you give, for example, a GAA club or a soccer club listening to this and they are trying to put together that risk assessment document? What resources are there for them, or what should be on their to-do list as far as you're concerned?
Well, as I say, try and follow the guidelines of the association that you're working for, number one. Then, I suppose, take your lead from the guidelines that the HSE has implemented over the last, is it 3 months now or 4 months, through the lockdown and through the reopening phases. You're looking at, with regard to COVID-19, hand hygiene, social distancing, and being able to just identify the potential symptoms, so that if you are a player returning to training or play, that if you have a cough, breathing difficulties, or a fever, you're smart enough to know they are symptoms and you don't turn up and bring that to your team, which would effectively close the club and potentially the phase we're in down again if we were to get a cluster outbreak at a club.
In relation to the players, given we'll take Old Crescent, like I presume you have teams from what, under six, under seven, all the way up to your senior team, and all points in between. Is there going to be space and latitude for all of those to return, or will you prioritise who comes back first?
I think, like I was alluding to earlier with regard to the lead that we might be able to take from the likes of Munster and they returning to play, I think the smartest approach would be to start with the adult teams, who we can control better, if you like, and put controls in place and then see how they work and then filter that down through the age groups. If the IRFU, if that is part of their roadmap, I haven't seen that kind of detail as to what age groups are to be brought back in. As far as I'm aware, it's the AIL teams that are looking to return initially, and from there, perhaps other teams in other age groups will come back, depending, I suppose, on the success of the protocols and the controls that get put in place and how that develops through to the next phase of the opening up, I suppose.
Hmm. Do you think that sports clubs in general will have to have some maybe structural changes in terms of, you know, putting up hand sanitizers, zoning off areas, closing down sections, etc.?
Yes, I think there will. It doesn't have to be expensive in any way, you know, it doesn't have to be big infrastructure, but it, you know, they'll have to have definitely the sanitization stations, areas where players, club members can, you know, wash their hands, you know, soap and water if there isn't sanitization facilities. Or if they're going to get dirty, you know, which is, you know, a common occurrence for a rugby player, if your hands get dirty, you need to be able to wash them when you're finished, and then sanitize, and then you're okay. But I suppose it just needs to be taken, you know, in a cautious, phased approach to opening up. And I suppose to go back to how we started on this vein, the adult teams would be where you'd start. Identify what works, use that, and then keep filtering down the practices that work best and keep using those. And anything new then that might come up or any improvements you might be able to make, then great, add to those. But you've got to start somewhere in a controlled environment and then start opening that up or opening it up to the other teams as you see how something works.
I think ultimately, though, from talking to Sean, you can have all the procedures and protocols in place, but the ultimate thing, it isn't anything structural, it isn't anything physical, it's the actual mental, the buy-in from the players and the individuals themselves. It's as much psychological as anything else.
It will be, you know, it'll be a behavior change to some extent as well. You know, getting guys to think about what's going on for them at the training they're going to turn up to. What do they need to do to keep themselves safe, and what can we do to help them stay safe? You know, I suppose it's a case of not trying to reinvent the wheel. We've gone through our lockdown. We had certain things that we needed to do during lockdown, and we're going to try and do those again as we open up. But in the rugby club scene, as I said, good hand hygiene, respiratory etiquette, and social distancing to start with will be the pillars that we'll be working on. If we can do those things, then we limit the potential for spread, because it's never happened to me that somebody's coughed or sneezed into my face. So if we maintain our social distancing and we have good cough etiquette, i.e. we catch it into the mm-hmm. bent elbow, you know, the chances of spread is quite low once you provide good hand hygiene with those two elements.
How badly hit were Old Crescent by the shutdown in terms of revenue and bar closes and everything like that? Because I know sports clubs and AIL clubs in particular were severely hampered in the last couple of weeks of the lockdown, as the season would have been drawing to a conclusion.
No, I wouldn't have specifics, Colin, but I'm sure, you know, part of it has been a problem for the club to try and, you know, recoup potential revenues like that. But the club will rally. You know, we'll do what we need to do to ensure that the club keeps going. We've gone through hard times before, whether it's been because of the the state of play or whatever. But Old Crescent is resilient. We'll bounce back. You know, we had a great opportunity this season to potentially get promotion up to the next division above us. So that opportunity is gone, but the players are still where they are. The goals will be very similar again. And we just start again when we're able to start. It's without a doubt there's been a revenue hit, but every club has been hit the same way. And unfortunately, the fact that the decision was to stop and basically say that the season was null and void, that's happened across the board. So nobody gains and nobody loses out potentially. We're just where we were at the start. So we've just got to pick it up again, and hopefully we'll get results on the pitch, which will lead to success.
The one bit of advice you'd give all those clubs, all those personnel that are kind of considering helping out, becoming safety officers or COVID officers in their club, common sense, probably the number one thing to have in all of this?
Absolutely. Common sense, whether it's COVID-19 regulations or health and safety regulations, will get you 90% of the way to achieving what you want to achieve. As I said earlier, you know, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel with the controls that you need to put in place for your team and your club members coming back to training. Just follow through with what we've all been doing for the last couple of months, and a little bit more just in regard to, you know, keeping equipment clean, ensuring that there's safe ways in and out of the club, you know, potentially have one way instead of everybody meeting in the car park and congregating, ensure that they come in a timely manner, and, you know, move to where they need to be and have structure in place for the sessions when people are coming and when they're leaving as well.
We'll say you were mentioning beforehand to me that you're sitting down watching the news and watching Dr. Tony Holohan every night, who's doing, I think we all agree, an absolutely fantastic job. If you had the chance to sit down face to face with him and ask him a few questions from a sporting perspective, what would you say to him?
Well, one of the questions I'd love to ask him or have him answer, it would be with regard to the length of time the virus stays on certain surfaces. So I suppose in the rugby context, what we'd like to know or have some information on would be, for example, how long is the virus likely to stay on a rugby ball or some of the equipment that we might use at a training session, like cones or, you know, that kind of thing, so that when we finish, for example, on a Tuesday evening, do we need to go and steam clean all the balls and the cones that we used at the training session? Or if we leave them until the Thursday night, is that long enough for the virus to dissipate and be gone and no longer be a threat when we use them on the Thursday night? So, you know, bits of research like that would be very helpful as all the different clubs, the different associations in Ireland start to open up, because we're all volunteers, I suppose, in this at the moment, and we want to do our best, but we need to get some information as well as to how best to do it and the most efficient way to do it, so that we can best use our volunteers' time as well as possible.
One of the notes that I saw there in terms of the GAA's roadmap to returning to play is in terms of training and having a COVID officer with a team keeping track of who's there and temperatures, et cetera, which strikes me as a lot of paperwork. Are you of the opinion that a lot of this can be done now with technology in terms of apps and the like?
I would think so, Colin. I think there is an opportunity for somebody to develop it. I'm not very tech savvy as in that regard, but you would think there is scope for the development of an app that could be used across all the clubs. You know, we're all going to be taking very similar amounts of information, like you said, who's coming to training, what's their phone number or contact information, what temperature they had when they arrived, if we're taking temperatures as they arrive, you know, and then being able to have a quick way of contacting that group afterwards in case there is a problem, so that if there is a problem, it can be corral it, or we can catch it as early as possible and inform the guys involved as early as possible, so that it doesn't spread any further if possible.
Okay, and do you think in the immediate future, obviously, Sean, everybody's going to be desperate to get out onto the fields, etc. Do you think it would be better if clubs maybe just look at having one designated training night or two designated training nights until they get things up to speed, rather than opening the gate and having something every night of the week, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think, you know, a little bit like the government and Dr. Houlihan has done for the country, a phased approach would be the good approach to have, because I think, you know, 2 weeks of careful, considered, structured training for a club team, followed by a rollout then for other teams within the club, once it has been seen that the protocols, the structures, the processes that have been put in place are working and there's control around the training sessions and what we're doing. If we open it up and be brave and say, look, we reckon there isn't much of a threat, let's go for it, hell for leather, that's where mistakes can be made. You don't know everybody that's turning up to the club on a given night, and therefore contact tracing becomes a problem. You don't know where potentially the hazard could come from. So I think caution is the right way to approach it, very like how the government and Dr. Holan have advised us to open things up on a phased and controlled basis. And only after, I suppose, measurement and analysis have they seen, yes, this is working, that's working, and therefore we can now start to open in another area and another area. So the cautious phased approach is the way I would be advising all present.
Okay, Sean, we're going to have to leave it at that. We could have had this conversation running on for another hour or two, and I'm sure we'll have lots of questions in the weeks and months ahead, and who knows, we might be back to you. We're going to have to leave it at that. Sean Manigan, Managing Director of SM Safety Limited, and also Old Crescent RFC's Club COVID Safety Officer. Thank you so much for your time, and the best of luck to you and to the club in the weeks ahead.
Thanks very much, Colin.
Thanks again for joining us on the Irish Examiner Sports Podcast. And don't forget, you can read the full Irish Examiner and every supplement just as they are printed, anytime, anywhere, on your phone, your PC,
or your tablet using our e-paper. Just visit irishexaminer.com/e-paper for all the details.